That Acts chapter 28, it's a long chapter, but it's a wonderful way to finish the story of the book of Acts. Have you ever asked the question, why am I here? I know why you're here, you've come to church. I mean, a bigger question, why am I here? What is my purpose for being alive? Why am I here in this world? Maybe you've asked that question in a reflective moment, or maybe you've asked that question after a hair-pulling day. Why am I here? What is my purpose in being alive? It seems to me that some of the most contented people are people who've answered that question for themselves. Some of the most happiest people alive are people who've found out their purpose for being and why they're alive, why they're here. They found a purpose, why they are on earth. When you discover your purpose for life, you're on your way to being happy. And in Acts 28, Paul had found the answer for his purpose for living, his purpose for being alive. And it was all bound up with his relationship with the Lord Jesus, the Son of God. It was all bound up with knowing Jesus Christ. But it hadn't always been like that. Before Paul became a Christian, he was a highly trained lawyer, a religious leader. He'd been a fanatic devoted to the cause of religion expressed in Judaism, but his life was in chaos. I put a list of what Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 3 of his human achievements, the things that made him feel good about himself. But notice right at the end he says, whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Jesus Christ. Whenever he looked at himself and felt good about himself, he got nowhere with God. It wasn't his purpose for being. It wasn't his purpose for living, being all of those things that he lists there in Philippians chapter 3. He lived by the law. He didn't live by love. He lived by the law and he was a killer. He didn't live by grace or love. He lived by religion, and he was a killer. His life was in chaos. He couldn't control his sinful impulses. He says elsewhere in the book of Romans that he knew what to do. Of course he did. He'd grown up with God's law, but he couldn't do it in his mind or heart. He tried as hard as he could to be righteous, but his life was in chaos because his sin kept breaking out. He kept lusting. We can read about that in Romans chapter 6 and chapter 7. He had no assurance of eternal life. He thought he knew where he was going, but he didn't. He had no assurance of forgiveness or of God's righteousness and acceptance, of how to be put right, how to be content and happy with his lot in life. Until he met Jesus Christ, of course, and that's what he says in verse 7. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss. I had to turn my back on them. I had to stop feeling confident in them and boasting in them. To know Jesus Christ, to know the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. And when that happened, when he became a Christian, he learnt that his purpose was to know and be in a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ and serve Jesus. And after that, God redirected his life. And God promised to send Paul to Rome. That was God's word and guarantee. And then Paul had this. The following night, the Lord stood by him and said, take courage, for as you have testified to the facts about me in Jerusalem, so you must testify also in Rome. God promised to send Paul to Rome. And we've been reading through the book of Acts and we see what happens. He's almost killed in Jerusalem. He's bitten by a poisonous snake that comes out of the firewood, grabs his hand. Everyone who's watching thinks he'll swell up and die of poison. But he shakes the snake off into the fire. He's shipwrecked. He's often arrested and beaten. And yet, he can say this. And I wonder if all you've been through or might be going through now, can you say this? Do you know why you're here? Have you learnt your purpose for living? After all that Paul had been through, he said, I have learned in whatever situation I am in, I have learned to be content. Shipwreck, arrest, bitten by a poisonous snake, locked up, on trial, whipped. I am happy. I've learnt to be content in every situation. How could he say that? How could he still be happy and joyful after all that happens to him? And the answer is because he's found God's love and God's grace in a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. He's found God's provision, he's found God's protection in the Lord Jesus, and he realizes now that his life, his future, is secure and bound up with the mission of Jesus and the plans of Jesus. And God's word promised Paul would get to Rome, and he is in Rome. Acts 28. Acts is exciting to read. God is on mission in this world, and God is using the gospel, the news about Jesus, living and dying and rising, to bring the forgiveness of sins to sinners. God is using that message to save people from spiritual darkness and sin and death as they trust Jesus the Lord. And God has included people in that mission. He's brought people in to help. He's brought Paul in. He's brought Barnabas in. He's brought Timothy in. He's brought Lydia in. He's brought the Roman jailer in. You know, these are the sermons we've been looking at in the past few weeks. It's God's mission to build his kingdom around faith in Jesus, but God lets the church be involved in the mission. He lets believers, Christians, be involved in the mission because they become his fellow workers in the mission of the kingdom of God. And now we're at the end of the book, chapter 28. We're nearly at the end of Paul's life, but it's not the end of God's mission. The mission continues, and that's why we're here today, because God's mission has been working through history, touching people's lives and bringing them into the church. And that's why I'm here. A stage in my life, God touched my life, brought me to Jesus, and brought me into the church. We're all here because God's mission continues. He's always reaching out to save people. So what should we pray for ourselves? Why am I here? What is my purpose for living? How can I be content and happy? What should we pray for ourselves? Well, it could be that you're not a Christian. It's possible that in a group this big, there are people here who are still working out where they are with Jesus. And it's possible that you haven't made a commitment of your will or heart, so that you do not trust the facts, the truth about Jesus Christ. It could be that. In a crowd like this, you've never made a commitment. You may even think Jesus is real, yes. But no, I've never drawn a line and made a commitment to him, a personal commitment, where I sign my life on that commitment and put my trust on him. Well, if you're like this, then I think today would be a good day to do it. Put your trust on Jesus, to receive Jesus as your King and Lord. It's something you can settle. You don't need me to settle it for you. You don't need Doris to settle it for you. It's something you can settle with God today. Why you're here. Alive now. Settle your future. You can do that today by asking God to help you receive Jesus as your Lord and Saviour, your King. And then telling God that you place your trust in Jesus. Now, if you're already a Christian, what should you pray? Why am I here? What is my purpose? Whether you're a father or a mother, a worker or a student, you're on your way if you're a Christian. Your future is guaranteed, it's secure. And you know what to do, and that's to live as a servant of the Lord Jesus. That's why you're here. That is your purpose. That is why God has touched your life, brought you into his church and kingdom, and made you a believer. Your purpose, whether a father, worker, mother, student, is to live your life as a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Your future is secure. You can live in God's kingdom, be his witness. You can enjoy being free from the fear of worry and death, fear of the future. You can be free of all of that, free from superstition, free from the winds of change. Enjoy knowing Jesus. See, there's no higher calling than being a child of God. No higher calling. You've been put here by God to promote the cause of Jesus. That is your purpose in being alive. And your future is settled. Eternal life and heaven are guaranteed. And you are free to enjoy our car park. You are free to enjoy your life under God, in God's kingdom, as you serve Jesus Christ. But before we say goodbye to Paul in Acts, he leaves an example in chapter 28 of how to serve Jesus and be a witness to Jesus, the Lord. And it's obvious all the way through the book of Acts, and especially here in chapter 28, that Paul is not ashamed of the gospel. Later on he can say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because the gospel, the good news message about Jesus, is God's power to be saved. For the Jew first, then the Gentile, the non-Jew. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. So the crowd set a date with Paul, and a large number of them came that day to the place where Paul was staying. And from morning till night, he explained to them his message about the kingdom of God. And he tried to convince them about Jesus by quoting from the law of Moses and the writings of the prophets. Paul explains as much as he can to the group of people that come to visit him. We shouldn't be ashamed of the gospel. If we are servants of the Lord Jesus, put here by God, with a purpose for living, we mustn't be ashamed of the gospel. The other thing we learn about Paul is he doesn't change the gospel. And it's very similar, what Paul says there in verse 23 is very similar to what Jesus says in the book of Luke in chapter 24. And what I've done there, I've put what Jesus says next to what Paul says. So 40 years later, Paul is saying exactly what Jesus said. He hasn't changed the gospel. He didn't make it up. He didn't invent it. He didn't rewrite it. He just doesn't change it. He is a faithful Christian. See what Jesus says after the resurrection? He said to them, look, these are the very things I told you about while I was still with you. Everything written about me in the law of Moses, the writings of the prophets and the Psalms had to come true. And then Jesus opened their mind, opened their hearts to understand the scriptures and said, this is what the Old Testament says, the Messiah must suffer, rise from death 3 days later, and in his name, the message about repentance and the forgiveness of sins must be preached to all nations. That's what Jesus said. And then 40 years later, Paul has this group of people in his lounge room. From morning till night, he explained to them the message about the kingdom of God. Repent and believe. The kingdom of God is here. And he tried to convince them about Jesus by quoting from the law of Moses and the writings of the prophets and the wisdom writings as well. So that's a summary of the Old Testament. So Paul is faithful to the Lord Jesus. He's not ashamed of the gospel, but he doesn't change it. He talks about Jesus, the King of Israel. And we know Jesus is the King because Jesus came back to life again with the power of God. He rose from death. And a stamp of victory was put on his work, on his death on the cross. So we can have confidence and assurance and hope that we know forgiveness, have eternal life, and are going to heaven because of what Jesus did in rising from death. And did you pick that up in that verse? Paul is bold and he leaves the results up to God. He lived there 2 whole years at his own expense and welcomed all who came to him, proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. Paul is bold. Not only does he tell them the good news of Jesus, he also warns them what will happen if they reject Jesus the King. So the group left disagreeing among themselves after Paul had said this one thing. How well the Holy Spirit spoke through the prophet Isaiah to your ancestors. He said, go and say to this people, you will listen and listen but not understand. You will look and look but not see. Because this people's minds are dull and they have stopped up their ears and closed their eyes. Otherwise their eyes would see, their ears would hear, their minds would understand and they would turn to me, says God, and I would heal them. Paul warns them that without repentance, God will not heal them. He will not save them unless they trust his word, the gospel, about Jesus. Paul is warning them about the consequences of rejecting Jesus. He's bold. God will judge you. He's bold. You are accountable to God. You're bold. When you die, God will call you to account before Jesus and judge you. You're bold. Paul is bold. And we can learn that from him. Boldness to speak about Jesus is a gift of the Holy Spirit. And the apostles ask God for boldness to speak because they know how natural it is to be scared, to be confused and forget what to say, to be embarrassed. And so the apostles ask God to empower them, to be bold, to speak about Jesus. And that's something we could pray for ourselves, especially leading up to Christmas. Dear God, help me be bold this Christmas to speak about Jesus. Equip me, lead me, remind me, stir me up, show me the openings to speak about Jesus. Or to write about Jesus. We need to be a bold church. I said last week we need to be a friendly church. That's true. But we also need to be a bold church in these last days before Jesus returns. And notice too that even though Paul works to persuade his hearers, he leaves the results up to God. We cannot make people Christians. We can't make anyone a Christian. You can't even make your children Christians. I mean, you can do the right things. You can raise them in the discipline and instruction of the Lord, as Ephesians 6 says. Yes, Ephesians 5. But we can't make anyone a Christian. Only God can do that. Only God can open hearts and give people the gift of faith to believe. But back in verse 24, we see the mixed response. Some people are persuaded, some people believe, but others don't. And they leave. That's up to them. But Paul has done his job. He's spoken about Jesus. And the book of Acts finishes on a positive note in verse 31.
He lived there 2 whole years at his own expense and welcomed all who came to him, proclaiming the kingdom of God.
God gives Paul 2 extra years of meeting people before he dies. Paul's got about 2 years left to live before he is executed for being a church leader by the Roman government. God's word is advancing. God's plans and mission and purposes are unstoppable. We can look around and thank God for the people here. We are here because of the mission of Jesus. even when things go wrong, and you're tempted to throw Jesus away, to walk away from the gospel, take heart, keep persevering. Your future is secure. Jesus has brought you the kingdom. He's brought you eternal life. And now you can live a life of joy and confidence, because God will bring everything to a perfect finish, just like he did with Paul.